Read the catechism reading as printed in your bulletin on page 5. The third petition, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? How is God's will done? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is a good Lenten prayer. Or is it? Surely forgive us our trespasses, lead us not into temptation, or deliver us from evil would be better. No, not to start Lent. Not when we stand besmeared with ashes before our God. Quick, think of the deepest desire of your heart. What was it? Money? Things, health, peace, satisfaction, or even sanctification. It wasn't that God's name be hallowed or that His kingdom come, was it? Yet these are what the Lord Himself told us were to be the first two things we should pray for. Even after that big thing that you desperately desire, these didn't even make your list, did they? Nor mine. So what if God's name being hallowed and His kingdom coming wasn't on my list when you startled me to make one? Big deal. It is. As C.S. Lewis said, surely what a man does when he is taken off guard is the best evidence for what sort of man he is. Surely what pops out before the man has time to put on the disguise is the truth. To find out if cockroaches are infesting your kitchen, you're more likely to see them if you go in suddenly, aren't you? But your suddenness doesn't create them. It only doesn't allow them to hide. My asking what you wanted this Lent flipped on the light before your cockroaches could hide. This little exercise with the list shows we don't will that God's name or God's kingdom have the primacy. To put it another way, this exercise shows that the key to happiness, satisfaction, and life for you is something other than what God wills. This should frighten you, but it shouldn't surprise you. In our catechism, we say it's not just the devil and the world, but our own sinful natures that don't want us to hallow God's name or His kingdom to come. You see why this petition, even more than forgive us our sins, lead us not into temptation, or deliver us from evil, you see why this petition is so fitting for the one day a year we mark ourselves with ashes. This petition is directly prayed against self. I've met the enemy, and it is me. I know what the devil, the world, and my flesh will this Lent. And their will finds encouragement even within the church. Find out what the latest sermon series at a contemporary church is. Go to a Christian bookstore. You will find lots of talk about the will of God for your life. None of it will mention that God wills His name to be kept holy and that His kingdom come. No, God wills your marriage be happy, your children raised rightly, you a good steward or evangelist. Even though God commands us to pray, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, to Christianity in general and our fallen flesh in particular, they aren't that important. Thankfully, despite the devil, the world, and our own flesh, and contemporary Christianity, the good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. See it happening in our text? God is hallowing His name by willing that the innocent Jesus, who always wanted and willed what His Father did, should go to the cross for punishment. God wills that His name be kept holy, but you have trashed it. You have denied it. You've abused it in a thousand little ways and in one big unbelief. So to keep His name holy, He sent the perfect Son, His perfect Son Jesus, to the cross. God had staked His holy name on the promise that no sinner, no sin, no violation of His name whatsoever would be left unpunished. When you last misused His name by attaching it to what God never said, did your tongue swell up and choke you? When you last used His name casually, were you hit with a whip? In your unbelief that God doesn't will what is good for you or won't do what is best for you, have you ever been thrown down on your back and had nails pounded into your flesh? No, because that happened to holy Jesus instead of you, as God willed it to be. What God wills is what happens this Lent. He wills not only that His name be hallowed at the expense of His Son, but that His kingdom come. When Adam rejected the rule of God in Eden, when Adam asserted his will be done rather than God's, what happened? God threw Adam and Eve out of His kingdom and left them to their own will. Their will could only produce thistle and thorns, tears and sweat. Their will could only drive them ever further from God's kingdom. Have you been here? I sure have. I've clung to my will, scorning the hallowing of God's name and the coming of His kingdom. And not only didn't I get the fruit, roses, joy, and rest I sought, but I got the thistles, thorns, blood, sweat, and tears I didn't seek or want. Like Adam and Eve before me, I rejected God's kingdom on His terms. So I remained on the outside. That wasn't satisfactory to the God who is love. He sent the kingdom to me in the flesh and blood of His Son. Jesus did not reject the will of God as I had. All His life, He embraced it. He thrilled to it. He reveled in it. And He did it in flesh and blood that was just like mine. Then He rightly claimed the kingdom on Palm Sunday. But the church rejected Him. Then the people rejected them. Then the state rejected Him. And finally, God Himself rejected the King of His kingdom. They crowned the man Jesus with thorns so that blood, sweat, and tears came from Him. But because it was the blood, sweat, and tears of God, they were perfect. And through them, God wills to bring His kingdom to sinners and sinners into His kingdom. And you know what? As the hatred of the church leaders, the faithfulness and feebleness of followers could not stop God's will from being done then, so none of these can prevent His will from being done now in your life. And I will tell you a secret, which all those who believe in free will, all those who believe in decision theology, all those who believe you do your part and God will do His, I'll tell you what all of these don't know. Not even you yourself can prevent God's will from being done in your life. That's what the gospel says. That's what the gospel means. If the mighty devil and the powerful world can't stop God's will from happening, do you really think your little old sinful flesh can? No, it can't. So this Lent we pray, as our large catechism says, that what must be done without us may also be done in us. The focus of our prayer is not the hidden will of God, but His revealed will. I do go to God with my deepest desires, my pains, my fears. But aside from God revealing that He wills that I bring these to Him, and that I'm not to be afraid because of them, God has not revealed what He wills to do about them. Anything God doesn't reveal in Scripture is part of His secret will. I don't know if He wills my desires unfulfilled. I don't know if He wills my pain to get worse. I don't know if He wills for what I'm afraid of to remain. But God does not want to rule us in accordance with that secret will. He wants to rule us in accordance with His will as it has been ordered and revealed by the Word. Therefore, we pray focused on what God's Word has revealed. When we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we can know We can believe, we can trust, we can be certain that God responds by breaking and hindering every evil plan and purpose of not only the devil, not only the world, but our own sinful nature. Our sinful self-will can want things harmful to our everlasting salvation. The Lord deals with that sinful will when we pray, "Thy will be done." So when we pray this petition and the opposite happens, we can and we should leap for joy. Our sinful will isn't happening, but God's holy, gracious, saving will certainly is. But here's the rub. Our deepest requests, our most fervent petitions, our deep desires, they don't seem like they're coming from our sinful natures, do they? I'm not saying they necessarily do. I'm saying that the expectation that our will be done when, where, and how we think does come from our sinful nature. And it's a good thing for God to frustrate it. For the will of our sinful nature is not to live with God in paradise, eating such food as He gives to us, but to live outside of paradise, eating whatever we please. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we are praying directly against that outcome because we know God's good and gracious will is to save us for all eternity. And to do that, He must save us from ourselves. And He does. Not only by answering our prayer, "Thy will be done," by breaking and hindering every evil plan and purpose of our sinful nature, but also by strengthening and keeping us firm in His word and faith until we die. Our Heavenly Father not only frustrates and puts to death the old Adam, He empowers and He perseveres the new man. The Father, whose word is so sharp and alive, is able to separate not only bone from marrow, not only soul from spirit, but the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Father can make distinctions we cannot make. He distinguishes between the old Adam and the new man. We can't, because both speak with the same lips. Both speak out of the same heart. Even when praying the Lord's Prayer, we become discouraged because our words are tainted by the ashes left by the old Adam's footsteps. The Father, however, doesn't see ashes strewn throughout our prayers. No, He sees like those fluoroscopes do. He sees what petitions, what words, what syllables are from the old Adam. And He separates those from the pleas of the new man. The Father knows how to answer prayers in such a way that His name is hallowed, His kingdom come, your old Adam is broken, your new man is built up, and you are saved. So we can pray this Lent with confidence, with gusto even, "Thy will be done." Amen.